This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by one of the leaders in our country, Dr. Mindy Estes. Dr. Mindy Estes is the CEO of the St. Luke's Health System, and she'll talk to us about the system, leadership, priorities, what she's seeing with COVID-19, and a lot more. Dr. Estes, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Scott. I am the president and CEO of the St. Luke's Health System in Kansas City. I have been here about 9 years. I also have the privilege this year of being the chair of the board of the American Hospital Association. I started my career in medicine as a neurologist and neuropathologist, and practiced actively for quite some time before doing administration full-time.
And Dr. Estes, was there a pivotal point in time where you sort of made this transition from practice to leadership?
Well, there was. I practiced for a number of years at the Cleveland Clinic Foundation, and in the Department of Pathology and also in Neurology and Neurosurgery. And at that time, healthcare was in transition, and it's funny to think about back 10, 15 years ago with the problems that we thought were in healthcare then and compared to where we are today. It seems relatively tame back in the early 2000s, but it became clear to me that, physicians and nurses are really the line workers of healthcare, and that it was incumbent upon us to really go back to school, get training in business, begin to punch the tickets and work our way up in the administrative side of the world to, in fact, be sure that the clinical voice was also blended with the administrative voice as healthcare moved into a different realm. And so that really was an aha moment for me. I went back then and got an MBA and began to have a number of progressive responsibilities through the health system.
Fascinating. Let me ask you a question about the AHA. The AHA over the last decade or so has done this remarkable job of coming back to sort of the center of healthcare and it seemingly being less territorial and more focused on making healthcare great in the United States and representing its hospitals and health systems and so forth, but in a more inclusive way. Can you take a moment and talk about the AHA and maybe just a moment on points of pride in now leading the AHA as chairperson of the board?
Yeah, I can. And I've been involved with the AHA for the last 15 years or so and active on the board for the last six. And, you know, I think traditionally when you think about AHA, you've thought about advocacy, which obviously is still at the core of AHA's importance to the field. But under Rick Pollack's leadership, AHA really has taken a broader look at the field and across all constituencies, you know, academic, large systems, rural hospitals, teaching hospitals, small hospitals, tried to look at the viewpoint from every one of those lenses and has really increase the number of resources that the organization has in terms of toolkits, in terms of things to help its members do their work more effectively and more efficiently. And I think that has been a real pivot for AHA, as well as building on the work of AONL, the nursing leadership group, and the formation of the Physician Alliance, recognizing that physicians are an increasingly important part of hospitals and health systems. We employ over 50% of the physicians in the country. So I think you're right about inclusion, that AHA, in fact, has deliberately provided more operational support, recognize that one size does not fit all, and that balancing advocacy and operations is important. In terms of points of pride, I really need to point to AHA's performance during this pandemic. you know, I think none of us could have imagined what would happen as we entered the early March timeframe. And the strain and stress that hospitals have been under, both from an operational perspective, a financial perspective, staffing, testing, supplies, and AHA has worked tirelessly to provide for the field, not just in terms of dollars in the CARES funding, but also in a host of things, from the million mask campaign to the dynamic ventilator reserve, where we're sharing ventilators across the country among all of us, to AHA's work in vaccines and therapeutics to ensure that we have a seat at the table and that we understand how these are coming about and how we're involved in the distribution. So I am extraordinarily proud of AHA's work and the work of the board over the last year.
Thank you very much. Your thoughts on sort of what I noticed from a distance is the AHA being much more public health and good oriented and less territorial. And it's very interesting for me to hear you shed light on some of the very specific initiatives that sort of probably lead me to that view, but the specifics of the implementation of policy by Rick Pollack and your board and so forth that have led to that sort of perception. It's really an interesting perception and discussion, because you really see it very clearly in the healthcare sector, how AHA at one point, if I go back many years ago, always seemed to be in conflict with other organizations. You just see less of that today, more focused on common public good and the health system good versus picking fights that it doesn't need to pick. It's really an impressive effort by Rick Pollack and your board's leadership at the AHA. Take us for a moment, Dr. Estes, through St. Luke's Health System and a few points of pride there and a little bit about St. Luke's Health System.
Yeah, the St. Luke's Health System is headquartered in Kansas City. And as you know, Kansas City sits right at the border of Missouri and Kansas, and in fact has a road called State Line Road. One side is Missouri, one side is Kansas. St. Luke's has been a factor in this Kansas City community for almost 140 years. So a longtime provider of healthcare, a longtime resource in the Kansas City community, and a longtime good corporate citizen in the area. St. Luke's now is very much a truly integrated health system. We have 10 hospitals in the metro area, as well as, and that includes four critical access hospitals in rural Missouri and in rural Kansas, a 700 person strong provider group, home care, the whole suite of things. So we really are an integrated health system. And we've worked very hard over the last 5 or 6 years to really diversify our footprint in the Kansas City area, trying to bring care to people where they need it and in their neighborhoods. And so we have built a number of multi-specialty big box type of facilities. We have five micro hospitals in Kansas that have been very important to us during this pandemic. And we are anchored by a flagship hospital, St. Luke's Hospital, which is a tertiary quaternary hospital with a significant research enterprise and educational enterprise in partnership with the University of Missouri, Kansas City. So St. Luke's is a consequential healthcare provider, both in Kansas City itself, but also in the region. You know, you ask about points of pride, and I would just highlight two or three. One is St. Luke's is one of the top heart transplant programs in the country. We have been doing heart transplants for over 35 years and have done 850 heart transplants with some of the best outcomes in the nation. And that really is one of the mainstays of a top-notch cardiovascular and cardiac surgery group that is at the heart of the tertiary services at St. Luke's Hospital, which on the one hand faces some of the most affluent areas of Kansas City, and on the other side of it, some of the most challenged. I think I would also point out, we We have since 2017 had the Health Equity Index designation for all of our hospitals and campuses. And we also have a very strong female leadership group throughout our health system. And so we're committed to diversity and inclusion. And then finally, St. Luke's has had a very strong culture for its almost 140 years. And we have, over the last several years, taken that culture and talked about celebrating a culture of kindness, which is really what we hope to be as a healthcare provider: kind every day, kind to our patients, kind to each other, kind to our communities, and that has resonated with our employees. And I'm pleased to say that, you know, during the stresses and strains of this pandemic, where our staff, our frontline staff in particular, have been under such a stress, that we have not lost that culture of kindness toward our patients, and importantly toward each other, because as you know, the pandemic has brought out the best in people, and in some instances has brought out the more challenging sides. And so I'm really very proud of our organization and our over 12,000 team members who are a part of that.
Dr. Estes, you've done this wonderful job both professionally. You know, people don't know this, or at least not everybody knows this. You serve on an advisory board for Becker's Healthcare with 16 other magnificent leaders from the healthcare community, and you are incredibly well respected by other leaders, which I always find a great tribute to somebody. You speak when you want to speak. You don't need the stage more than you want to have the stage, and you're just incredibly well respected. Talk about advice that you would give to other people trying to build fulfilling and great leadership careers, because you seem to have had this wonderful transition, this second career in leadership after a great career as a physician. A couple of thoughts on having careers that people can thrive at and do well. Any advice you would give people?
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I guess just a couple of things. One is to, as you move into leadership, is to really understand where the work in healthcare gets done. And the work in healthcare gets done on the front lines, our healthcare providers, but also all of the people who in fact support those healthcare providers, from environmental services to nutrition to transportation to all of the back office functions. And be sure that you never lose sight of where the work gets done. I learned a long time ago that you really need to listen to understand, not just to respond. As all of us get busy, as all of us have a million things on our calendar, it's tempting sometimes when somebody tells you something to respond instantly, but you need to listen to understand. I also think welcoming dissenting voices is really important. I encourage my team to, I don't mind being disagreed with. If the facts present themselves, I am certainly willing to change my mind. And, you know, having those dissenting voices you trust around the table, I think, really help you make better decisions. And then finally, Scott, I think I would just say, you know, leading with empathy and with transparency, I think, is really important. We always need to realize why we are in this business of healthcare, that the patients come first, but that we are a people-intensive business, and all of us need empathy, all of us need understanding, and I think leading with both that and transparency is very helpful.
Thank you very, very much. Mindy, it's been a great pleasure to sort of hear you over the last several years, and to get to know you and at least somewhat, and to watch your leadership style. The thing that you mentioned about frontline workers and realizing everything really gets done, a lot gets done at the front line. And I guess in this period of time when people on the back office and scientists are developing vaccines, it's probably a great mix, but it's really the front line, the scientists, the researchers, and then the job of the administrative leaders is to make sure they all flourish and can get their jobs done and protect them and make their lives easier to do their jobs. I wonder if you would take one moment and commenting on the following. More and more in healthcare, there are plenty of great leaders that were not clinicians by background, whether doctors or nurses, but increasingly, great physicians, great nurse leaders become some of the best leaders of health systems. And is that because they understand the entire operation of the health system in a way that's different than somebody that might not have been able to work in it at some point as a clinician? Or why is there sometimes that advantage and you see it in some of our great leaders?
You know, having had a long career in healthcare, I can remember when there were really very few physicians and nurses and other clinical providers who led hospitals and health systems as the as at the CEO level. And you are quite right. Over the last, particularly the last 10-15 years, that has changed dramatically. I think a couple of things. One is, as I mentioned earlier, you know, physicians, nurses are the line workers of healthcare. And I do think we understand the delivery of care. I think we understand the dynamic tension between productivity and quality and the administrative demands that have increased dramatically. I think that comes as you practice medicine. I also think that we've seen physicians and nursing leadership, physicians in particular, punch their tickets, if you will, to lead health systems. I can remember not very long ago when, as a physician, if you went back and got an MBA, a number of people said, well, I'm ready. Put me in the C-suite, put me in the CEO chair. And I think we've seen over time that physicians in particular need to move up through the ranks, need to understand the processes that go into administering a large health system so they can balance naturally what they know about clinical medicine with now what they know about all of the legal, financial, operational governance demands that a health system requires. So I think we've seen an evolution, and as physicians have been willing to, in fact, punch their tickets and work through both sides of the equation, we really now have some amazing physician leaders in this country.
So true and so well stated, and nurse leaders as well, but magnificent. Dr. Esses, it is a pleasure to visit with you. So clear thinking, always. So straightforward, always. You really are an unusual pleasure to listen to. I feel like, as much as any leader I ever listened to, I learn more from just hearing you talk. I learn than from almost anybody else, and it's a great blessing to get a chance to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast and for all you do at both VHA and St. Luke's and every place else that you touch.
Thank you, Scott. It's been a pleasure. Stay safe and be well.